Good morning, good afternoon, good evening from wherever you're watching us from. We are live at Leap Africa Studios, Lagos, Nigeria. I welcome you all viewers to the year 2024, and this is the first edition of the Youthful and Useful podcast. We are bringing it back to you bigger, better, stronger, and with more audacity this year. And just in case you are joining us for the first time, we're a youth development organization, and we drive impact across five major areas: employability, entrepreneurship, education, active citizenship, mental health, and well-being. Stay tuned to this channel to be equipped, resourced, and mobilized with information that you need to thrive as a youth. So, we are in the new year. How did last year go? What's one word that describes how your last year went? But now we are in the new year, and we are kicking off the year with audacity. We are kicking off the year with new energies, and it's important that we talk about goal setting and how to manage that all through. But I'm not here by myself, and I forgot to introduce, my name is Oroluwa Akinsoya. I also serve on the Leap Africa team. But with me here today in the studio is a distinguished Leaper. He's the extraordinary programs manager at the Leap Africa organization, Lagos Africa Global. And he actually wears two hats, and he also wears another hat as the General Secretary of Life Coaches Association of Nigeria. This is who I'm going to be spending my time in the studio with today. None other than Osarume Akenzwa.
Thank you very much, Oreoluwa, for that introduction. And it's a pleasure to be here. Happy New Year to our viewers and the audience out there, depending on where you're watching from. We wish you the very best in 2024.
Thank you so much for joining us here today. All right, so we'll just delve right into it. So can you just tell us a little about your background? What was your journey like before you became a programs manager, before you started on this life coach journey? What did you study in school? And just tell us a bit more about yourself.
I hope I can compress everything into a few words. My journey in school, learning at the university, was actually an interesting one, because I was one of those people who thought they knew what they were going to university to do. Now, because I have a unique skill of convincing or persuading, I was able to speak about what I thought I was going to university to do with so much conviction. If I made a pitch to anybody, they would easily buy it and feel like I knew exactly what I wanted to do. Deep inside, I had no clue. I was really just testing waters. And so I got admission to, I went through a diploma in a college in England. I had tried to do A-levels a number of times. I failed, literally. I failed A-levels and thought I needed to find another pathway for entry into the university. And that was where the diploma opportunity came. So I seized that, and I was a science student. I'd always been a science student in secondary education. So I thought I was going to do medicine or one of those nice fancy science subjects. But when I began to appreciate the magnitude of what was involved, the efforts required, I decided I would settle for something lesser and find something like environmental science, which actually wasn't my first choice. Geology was my first choice, because I always wanted to work in an oil company, you know, make money. In those days, if you were working in the oil company, you were making good money. So that was my aspiration. And the university I got admission into, where I did my diploma, I got automatic admission because of my results. They didn't have geology, so they offered me environmental science, and I took it. But my first year in environmental science was what drummed sense into my head. Just two of us were blacks of African descent in class. So we were also having to navigate, you know, the way people perceive people of color. So that was quite an interesting experience. I won't say miserable, but it was quite a struggle, because I then realized that this wasn't what I envisaged university education to be. I wasn't fulfilled. I wasn't excited. I had looked forward to going to university. That wasn't happening when I got into environmental science. So I was supposed to have a placement year, which is where you take time off and work, get some experience, okay, and then you continue the rest of your program. So by the time you're coming out of university, you have work experience to present to employers. And that was when we were filling forms, and I realized that there was absolutely nothing that I could answer, none of the questions I could answer. Then I knew I was in deep trouble. So I went to, and I'm very spiritual, you know, we all are spiritual people. I had to connect again with my maker to say, I need you now more than ever, and you need to direct and lead me. So it was after that exercise that I got conviction, inexplicable conviction. Till date, I can't say why, what I saw, what, who spoke to me, but I just had this conviction that I was meant to be doing law. So I had to start law all over again.
Wow.
And my colleagues were ahead of me. Wow. Some of them 2 years ahead, some of them 1 year ahead. But I had to make that decision.
Wow.
And immediately I switched to law, my life took a completely different turn.
Wow.
So, you know, there's been a number of different experiences that have informed the choices I have made and some of the journeys that I have embarked on, especially the life coaching one. And that's what has brought me to where I am today. I like to say that I'm work in progress. I'm a gentleman who is on my way to a fulfilling purpose that I have and the assignment I have on earth. So that's it.
Wow. That's such a history already. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
You said some of the things I hear from what you have described, it has the trait resilience. I mean, I can imagine you starting school with your friends, colleagues, your peers, and then having to take a back step while they went ahead, dealing with the peer pressure of, oh, this person is ahead of me. Now I'm here. What am I doing in my life? How am I figuring things out? And many of the youth can find themselves in that place. Comparison then begins to set in and eventually leads to jealousy, which eventually leads to many other things. And also, how did you manage yourself? How did you stay content? How did you continue on the journey? How did you find strength to go through your own path, especially when you said that you didn't find fulfillment in life sciences? But I'm sure that you are not the only person in that course or department that didn't find it, but didn't, you know, take a step back to course correct. What am I doing in my life? So just talk us through.
Thank you so much for that. And as you asked the question, Orelua, I had a number of flashes through my mind, because I met during my time in university people who had also come to study and who were not fulfilled. In fact, I remember a gentleman who was really somebody who was a mentee or supposed to be a mentee, and his parents had actually come and handed him over to me and said he was going to be studying engineering. The young man was proficient in drawing, in art. He would draw you, you would almost not believe that it's you. He was so talented, but his parents wanted him to do engineering. They paid his tuition for an engineering course. The gentleman, after a while, stopped attending lectures. He wasn't having his bath. He was completely drawing into depression. And we had to have a conversation. There were a number of people who were in that situation. I like to say that I have been a beneficiary of grace, and I think some crazy audacity. We talk about audacity and leap. I have looked back at my life, and Orelu, I have to be honest, there are some steps and actions I've taken that it's only when I look back, I connect the dots. In the words of Steve Jobs, you can't connect the dots until you look back.
Yeah.
And some of them have been really audacious. And I remember that when I left to start again, it was a decision I took without telling anybody, because I wasn't paying my fees. I had my parents who were paying, so I'd changed, and I was privileged to enjoy that. Nobody said, get back on the next flight to Nigeria. What do you think you are doing? So I did that, and I was able to get ahead. But another thing I wanted to also say about even just bouncing back and not being able to manage that situation, I actually had a number of rejections when I was actually applying for my visa to study. And as you know, I had to defer my admission about 3 times.
Uh-huh.
And so at the time I was actually starting university, bear in mind, I said I lost some years. But at the time I even got a chance at university, my colleagues from secondary school were going into their masters. Wow. Because I had to defend my admission into university three times because I was rejected. I can't say that I was so excited in that period. I was very on top of everything. I had bounce back ability. I actually was depressed. In fact, I don't think I've said this on any platform, but there were a number of times I considered what use or value my life was. So it was a very difficult time for me. And I remember that somebody had reached out to say, so I'm not idle. Can they engage me? And so that was my first work experience. So I actually started working with a firm that was in Alausa at the time. It was an advertising firm. I'll never forget Prima Garnets. And Mr. Lulu, a wonderful man who gave me the opportunity and said I should come and work. So I got some experience there, and that, you know, began to form and shape my journey going forward. So it wasn't always very rosy. And I have to say, when I switched to law, I said my life turned. I got an interview opportunity with one of the big banks in the city, in London at the time. And I thought, wow, this was my big break. And to your point around understanding that everyone has a journey, I was so big that, you know, and they were going to be paying me in pound sterling. And it was an internship role, 3 months. I'd already done the calculation of how much I was going to move. I would move from my current accommodation. I was going to get cable TV. Cable TV at the time was a big deal. I was going to really splurge because I was earning, you know, thousands of dollars. My mates were working in, you know, other stores, you know, and that sort of thing. But I remember getting to the final stage of the interview. Never forget that building, the City of London, and that bank. And I finished the interview and I was so sure that I was going to get it. A few days later, they called me and say they're not taking me through. Wow. For a week, I think I had to, I just kept asking myself, what did I do wrong? Mm. And I couldn't get over it. So for a week, I was really downcast. I was so sad because I had plans for the money they were going to pay me over the internship. But I realized in that moment that I had a different journey. I had a few people who I looked up to at the time who were working in investment banks, who were working in the City of London, living big, driving nice cars. And I wanted to be like them. But that experience taught me that I had my own journey. And so that was very defining for me. Wow. In really just trusting that I need to aspire, I need to be inspired by others, but I also need to be focused enough to keep in my lane.
Wow, that's so strong. So many strong things you've said just in this few minutes we've spent talking. And thank you so much for being vulnerable and sharing from the depth of your heart. So throughout last year, we could characterize the year as a volatile year, a year that was ambiguous, a year where a lot of navigation, not just for businesses, not just for the polity, but even at individual levels, so many adjustments that needed to be made. Many people started setting the goals at the beginning of the year, but at the end of the year, still feeling underachieved and whatnot. Now a new year is upon us. We are fond of new year, new me, new year, new resolution. I'm going to do this year. I'm going to take my health more seriously. I'm going to read books. I'm going to study. And challenges will come. You can't extricate life and challenges. Challenges will definitely come. So how do you suggest youth, especially with youth, it's as though there is a multiplicity of these challenges and they have different effects. How do you suggest that youths can handle setbacks? How do you suggest they can handle, when I set a goal, I don't achieve the goal? How do I manage that? When I set multiple goals, I don't hit these goals. How do I manage that? Especially when it's somewhat beyond my control. How do I live through that? How do I still come up with my head high, knowing that I'm valuable, knowing that eventually my time will come, knowing that this is a season and it will pass? And even maybe just having a perspective of this is working something in me. So maybe you could just end on if it worked anything in you at all.
Thank you so much, Orelua, for that. And, you know, it's so funny because a lot of times people say, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm striving towards perfection. However, in practice, we don't give ourselves that allowance that corresponds with I am not perfect.
So we are not gracious to ourselves.
Yeah. We say I'm not perfect a lot of times, but really, when we don't meet the targets, when we don't hit the goals, we're so hard on ourselves. And I personally have taken life as seasonal. There are seasons in life. And I don't, a while ago, I stopped doing the New Year resolutions, not because there's anything wrong with it, but I thought it helped me cope better with transitioning the seasons of my life. So I look at life in seasons rather than Happy New Year or make New Year resolutions. With resolutions and commitments and goals, one of the things that as a life coach I'm trained to appreciate is that we can't achieve certain goals until we change who we are. Mm. Now, there are a lot of times that there are goals that are sensitive to the individual or the personality or the character of a person. Mm. If that character is not present, it cannot attract the actualization of the goals that we aspire to hit or exceed. So for a long time, I also used to get caught in that web of, I've set a goal, why am I not achieving it? Why am I not, I want to read 20 books in a year. Why am I not achieving it? But then we're also taught as coaches that you chunk those goals. So you have a big goal, but then you cut them into smaller bits. Mm. And it's about habits. It's about what habits are we building? How is it becoming part of our lifestyle? So what is changing about me? So if I say, oh, I want to read 12 books in 1 year, I can't just go from zero to 12 books.
Yes.
I have to say, can I start setting a goal of reading one page of a book every month? You know, and people who are in religious organizations always encourage people when they encouraging them to read the Bible, for instance, or the Quran. They say, look, take it one verse, one chapter. That's the model to follow, right? Because it's easier for you to build that habit. And it's that habit that then helps you achieve the goals that you've set. So I'd like to say that we need to review some of our goals, because our goals sometimes are actually too detrimental. We've created bigger goals that we cannot meet, not because we don't have the capacity to meet, but because we have not built the culture, we've not built those habits that help us achieve the goals. So first thing I would say is step back. If you've set goals, be gracious to yourself, okay? Don't be too hard on yourself. If you say you're not perfect, then don't expect perfection in terms of goal achievement. The next thing I would say is also revise the goals that you have set. Are they feasible? I don't want to go into SMART goals, because I'm sure everyone who's watching has heard of SMART goals, but are they realistic? Are they things that you can actually do? Don't compare yourself with others. I hear people speak publicly and they say, oh, if you don't do this in a year, you have not started life. If you have not done this, no, please. Let's give grace to everyone, to each his own. Everyone is on a journey of their own. We should inspire and encourage. We shouldn't condemn. And we shouldn't judge by our own standards or anecdotal experiences. I beg your pardon. So I would say those are things, and then chunk them down. Once you have a big goal, then chunk it down into smaller activities, smaller actions, and then give timelines to it. And every time you miss the mark, don't be hard on yourself, okay? Continue at it, get back to it. Some people say, look, try accountability partners. It works for some people. So if you feel that that will work for you, try getting an accountability partner so that that person, it's easier when we have people that are supporting and holding us accountable to commit and discipline. I have to say finally, discipline. If you've read The 7 Habits of Successful People by Stephen Covey, you would know that the successful people are disciplined people.
Thank you so much. Wow. One, extend grace to yourself. We say that we are not perfect, but we keep judging ourselves by the standard of perfection. That was so profound. Secondly, you have to change who you are before you can achieve certain goals. People set goals without wanting to make those changes that would enable them to achieve those goals. You know, there's this principle that you spoke on. You know, I've called it that, but there's a principle you spoke on. It's called Kaizen. It's a Japanese principle, and it talks about getting 1% better. So if you can set that goal, there's something, and something we use in the workspace, CAGR, compound annual growth rate, where you are just compounding the change day on day. And I find that it's easier if I miss one day, oh, I missed one day, but I've done 100 days.
Yes.
I have the strength to continue on the next day.
Absolutely.
But if I've not done it and I'm gunning for so much and I fail, I'm, of course, I'm down low. I can't do this anymore.
That's right.
So thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
That's a takeaway, everyone. 1% better every day. If you can keep going at it, keep putting in the work to change, keep being disciplined. If you fall, you pick yourself up. Don't compare yourself with any other person. You're on different journeys. Find the strength to stay in your lane. Those are the gracious words that our distinguished speaker, Osarume Akenzua, has blessed us with this morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you're watching us from. And right about now, we'll go on a break. Thank you so much, and we'll be right back shortly. Welcome back to this session. We are still live at the Leap Africa Studios Lagos office, and we are still here discussing the topic bounce back ability. It's almost a mouthful, bounce back ability. I'm here still with my distinguished guest, Mr. Osarume Akenzua. And I would just like us to take a deeper dive into the word bounce back ability. What does it mean to you? And in the context of its usage, it may sound like it's a thing of past tense. I do it once and it's good. Or is this something that is present, continuous? Bounce back ability, is there an end to it? I'd like to hear your thoughts.
All right. Thank you so much, Oralua. I like to see bounce back ability as a basketball. I used to play basketball in school. I don't play it anymore. So don't ask me any questions. And every time you bounce the ball bounces back to you because there's something in the ball. Now, if you take the air out of that ball and you bounce it, it's going to just remain at rest.
Absolutely.
Now, bounce back ability to me means that you have enough content, and that content means resilience. How have you been able to build yourself individually as a resilient person, such that when adversity strikes, you are able to withstand the impact of adversity? When the Japanese or the Germans make some cars, they put the airbag in it. Because once there is impact and collision, the point behind the airbag is it's activated and then it protects the person from damage or hurt. So that's the concept. It's really, and times will, you know, like I said earlier, life is about seasons, different experiences shape and form who we are. But the consciousness to appreciate adversity and progress or success and understand that life is a mix of both sides really helps us prepare for adversity. So in one part of my, or at some point in my life, I had challenges with my health. And in that point, I felt like there was so much going on. I wanted to give up completely, but I had a community. I had people who were supportive. And then I was feeding myself with very positive things. Journaling used to help me a lot. So I used to write a lot so that my thoughts can be eased onto paper. So I would say that find what works for you and make sure that you're giving yourself to personal development. Sometimes people think about personal development as just career focused or business focused. So you run a business, you are an entrepreneur. Personal development means you have to go and learn about profit and loss or revenue or all of those fancy jargon that are associated with that industry. You are an employer of labor, or you're working in hospitality or finance. You're saying personal development means you have to go and get a certification, AACA or ICANN. Whatever those certifications are, they are great. But you need to also balance in terms of what is your emotional capacity or your emotional resilient quotient. I like to call it the ESQ, the ERQ, I beg your pardon. What's your emotional resilience quotient? It means what is the capacity for you as a human being to be able to withstand adversity with your emotions intact. Not that you don't experience a deluge of emotions during adversity, but your emotions are intact such that they don't affect other people negatively and they do not affect you negatively. So for me, that's really what bounce back ability talks about.
Wow.
When you know that, yes, I may have failed yesterday, but I could rise up and give it another try. We all know Thomas Edison and his experience, and we refer to it a lot of times, right? You need to come back. You need to honestly forgive yourself and say, failing is a process. One of my mentors said something profound one day. He says that failure is not an end, or failing in itself, it's not finality. Otherwise, if failing was a finality, anybody who has failed should fail for life.
Yeah.
But it in itself is not a finality. It's an event. It's an occurrence. So you've had people who have failed multiple times, but then we celebrate them today because they got one breakthrough.
Yeah.
And as soon as they got the breakthrough, they became famous, popular, and a lot of accolades came to them. So that's really how I would capture bounce back ability.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And the bounce back ability example you gave with the basketball analogy is brilliant. So I used to play basketball as well. I used to play point guard. We actually have more similarities than I. And I used to play point guard, and I really loved Kobe Bryant. Even though he wasn't a point guard, he was more of a shooting guard.
Yeah.
And that person that I loved to watch was Michael Jordan. He was also a shooting guard. And these are two men who have, they had, one is passed now, Kobe is passed, but one is still alive. But when they played, they demonstrated resilience. There's something that is often associated with Kobe Bryant, Mamba mentality. And that just talks about toughness. This is when this player would have broken his finger and he would still say, I'm going to play because I want to win. Yeah. He would tear his Achilles and he would still say, I'm going to play because I want to win and all of that. And that's resilience in sports.
Yes.
What your story encompasses is resilience in academics, sort of personal life. But what other areas do you think the youth may be exposed to? Maybe someone may be watching and say, oh, it's not a school issue I have, or it's not a health issue I have, or it's not a sports issue I have. Of course, adversity is something that you cannot run away from. It's part of life, you navigate it. But two questions as we begin to round up is, what other areas do you think youth will experience adversity in? And the second is, what did that work anything? Maybe did it work on character? Did it work on compassion? Were there any, would you say it was totally a loss, you going through those seasons, or there was something that it built in you? There was a perspective, there was a mind shift that if you had not had such an experience, you wouldn't be the person that you are today.
Thank you, Aurelua. I think it's really helped me appreciate people and the diversity of experiences in life. I'm less judgmental when I meet people today, or when I see someone who, quote unquote, has failed or has given up or feels like there's no hope anymore, because I was once there. I felt like the whole world had ended. So it gives me greater appreciation for people like that. I don't judge them easily. And then I'm able to even share when I can, so that they could relate in some way. One of the things I would say that really helps is asking this question, what lesson can I actually take out of this experience? So there are other aspects, like you said, where people experience adversity. It could be relationships, it could be finances, it could be career, it could be business, it could be health. It could be health, it could be all sorts of different things. But the key thing to take away is always, what is the lesson for me? It could be loss. I remember I've dealt with loss, and I'm sure somebody is watching and is probably dealing with loss now and saying, you're saying all these nice things because you don't know how it feels to have lost somebody so close, someone so love dear to you. Look, I'm not one to compare experiences. Something we like to do a lot on this part of the world is compare. It's almost like we're competing our levels of adversity or the intensity of our challenges are in competition. Oh, all right. So you went through that. It's only that you went through. Come and hear my own story. And then the third person comes and says, two of you, it's only this one you are battling with. Okay, let me bring my own. And it's almost a battle of superiority in adversity. Mm. Very interesting mindset. Mm. And but what I'm trying to say is you would find that even with loss, I had to ask myself very strong questions. What is the lesson I'm supposed to take out of this? Why did this happen? How can this help me move forward in life? And I have to say that the losses in my life, very dear, very close, what informed me, informed the journey to coaching. Because I had a lot of questions, and coaching is about asking questions. Yes. And then there were a lot of other techniques and interventions I went through to also get through those experiences. So I'd like to tell the young people who are watching, it's no shame anymore to seek therapy or professional help, right? Gone are the days where it was a taboo or you were seen as an outcast if you sought help, professional help. I stress professional help, right? So you can seek professional help. You can go to therapy. You can go to a coach. You can go to people who are proficient in this area, in this aspect, and share with them openly, and people that you trust, so that tomorrow you don't hear your story on social media. Another thing is social media is so powerful today. Media generally is so powerful. You're watching films now. The cinemas are packed back to back. You're seeing box office movies coming out of Nigeria. You're going on social media. There are millions of people following stars and entertainers and public figures. There's a lot of pressure on the young person today. Never, like never before. So I want to encourage you and say, you know what? Sometimes it's good to even just have a detox and just shut down on everything. Sometimes you are too online for your good. So don't be too online for your good. Don't be too current to your detriment. So think and step back and begin to appreciate that you have your own journey and your own adversity is peculiar to your journey. So whilst others might share their journey and might handle it different ways, make your decision, find the right crowd. Community is so important. I was saying to someone earlier today, psychologists have actually found already that the quality of relationships in the lives of human beings have a direct correlation to the longevity of their lives and the quality of lives they live. So find the right communities. It is not in numbers. It's in the quality of people you have around you. You need the support system. Be vulnerable with people that you trust and don't be hard on yourself. Give grace to yourself. And remember something, I would never speak about my experiences without talking about the God factor. You have to be a person of faith. That's the reason we get up and we will get up tomorrow. Because we have faith in something, whatever religion you belong to, the reason you will get up tomorrow morning, leave your bed or wherever you sleep on, is because you have faith. Some people say, well, it's hope. We hope for a better tomorrow. Therein lies faith, because the better tomorrow is yet to be seen, but it's substantial to you in that moment. And it's that appreciation of the substance that hope or whatever you define it brings in that moment that spurs you to stand up and say, I'm going to go out, irrespective of what happened yesterday. My manager was horrible to me yesterday. I lost some money yesterday as an entrepreneur. Oh, I didn't do well in my performance appraisal. Oh, I lost a friend because I was horrible. Oh, this person passed on. Whatever happened yesterday went with yesterday. But you're going to get up tomorrow. Even if you're going to sit all day and be tired and depressed, the fact that you decided to get up means that there's something in there yearning for expression. Please, the world is waiting on some form of expression that you have. Don't rob the world of it. Now, someone might say, well, that's selfish. Why are you telling me to get up? Why are you telling me to do something for the world? Who's going to care about me? Who's going to consider me? It's always has been for people, for people. Somebody might be watching and asking that question. But the truth about it, I love what Zig Ziglar said. He's also late. He said many years ago, he says, look, sometimes in finding ourselves, we help others find themselves. And in doing that, we're able to find ourselves and find what we're meant to be doing. So please don't give up, right? I'm sure truly, we say this as cliche, better days ahead, but truly, that's why you get up. Think about it, because you believe somewhere on the inside of you that there are better days ahead.
Wow. Viewers, I'm flummoxed. That is so deep. You have shared really deep things with us today on this episode of Backability. And I believe this is an ever relevant topic.
Yes.
It's something that viewers can still make reference to by Q1 ending, Q2, mid-year, Q3. You can always come back to it, even years to come, because there are nuggets you have shared about resilience, the place of a community, the place of feeding yourself with the right content, the place of extending grace to yourself. We extend grace to others. We often forget to extend grace to ourselves, but we hold ourselves up high with that level of perfection. And it's just interesting how easy life becomes when you have a community, when you have people encouraging you, when the quality of relationships, like you said, quality of relationships are there, and you can even leave having an effect on your health, because that's direct from emotional to physical.
Yeah.
Having a direct effect on you, and that is so helpful. Thank you so much for sharing. And viewers, thank you so much for joining us on this episode, the first episode, Bounce Back Ability. So don't anticipate that you're going to fail this year. Don't anticipate that you are not going to hit those targets. Whereas just have a mindset shift. Rethink it. Rethink the goals. Revise the goals. Find a community if that works for you. Extend grace to yourself as you go on in the year. Have the mindset that it's going to get better. It's going to get better. And as you keep on attacking the year, or as you like it, walking through the year, surfing through the year, running through the year, whatever works for you, as you keep on taking on the year, bit by bit, know of a truth that we are rooting for you. Your potential is going to be maximized, and people are waiting for you, as our distinguished guest has said. So what you carry is not for yourself, it's for others. Thank you so much. And if you like this video, I want you to share it with someone, share with two people, share with three people you think it to be of good use to, and follow Leap Africa on social media across all platforms. It's Leap Africa. And we'd like to hear your comments, see your comments, read from you. And so if you have any thoughts on this video, comments, or how this has blessed you, please feel free to share in the comment section and hit the notification bell to get more videos like this. Till next time, thank you so much. And I just want to say thank you, Osarume, for joining us and gracing our studios, sharing the nuggets, and wish you the very best in 2024.
Thank you so much, Oreoluwa. Really appreciate the time spent with you, and appreciate the questions that you've asked. And I also wish you the very best in 2024. And my parting words, I guess, to everyone would also be, you mentioned that if you fail, then bounce back. No, one of my mentors used to say that no way is the only way. So if you tried something and you failed at it, you can try that same thing a different way. And hopefully, even if you fail at the different way, continue to exhaust all the other ways that would help you achieve that legitimately.
Thank you for that. Legitimately. And with that, viewers, thank you very much. It's bye from us at Leap Africa Studios for now.